The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast. Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
What is going on, guys? Man, I hope I remember how to do this. I really hope I don't... Embarrass myself here. It's been a while, but you are listening to the High Spot Podcast. I am Jeff Martin, and I'm going solo this week. The trendsetter will join me once again in his illustrious chair next week. But it is SummerSlam weekend, and all the festivities are headed up north of the border to beautiful Toronto, Canada, one of the best sports towns ever. Just ask Raptor fans. You'll see just an amazing city, and it's going to be an awesome weekend of wrestling as the WWE headlines Toronto with TakeOver and SummerSlam. Of course, you can follow us on all our social media at High Spot Podcast. We are on BodySlam.net on the Shining Wizards Radio Network, as well as B-Plus Player. I really don't know if we're on B-Plus Player anymore. We keep plugging that. I haven't heard from Mark Adam Haggerty in a while. I'm sure he's doing his thing. I know he'll be at Battle Club Pro in September, so I can ask him personally. Like, are we still doing the whole relationship with the B-Plus Player? I think we're still doing it. I'm not sure, but I will ask Mark. So for now, we're on the B-Plus Player Radio Network, of course, on Spreaker and on all podcast platforms, on Apple Podcasts, and also on the YouTube channel, High Spot Podcast. We have all our video content right up there for your viewing pleasure, as well as Adventures with the Trendsetter. And yes, you will have new content on there for you guys shortly. Patience is a virtue, and trust me, when you see what the Trendsetter has for you guys coming up in just a few days, you will thank me and your patience will be rewarded. Now, we are almost into, you know, the midpoint of the summertime. Where did it go? And yes, summer happened so fast. It's only about 3 months out of the year here in the Northeast. And man, I'll tell you one thing. You know, the Trendsetter's been busy at work, you know, doing a lot of stuff for the show. I've also been on hiatus, not a voluntary hiatus, so to say. It's been a really crappy, shitty month for myself. And all I'm going to say is, folks, there is nothing more important than one's health. Be healthy. It sucks because you have all these plans that you want to do, and you can't get to them because of the sheer matter that you are not healthy. One's health is so very important. So when you're talking about wealth and you're talking about happiness, you know, it all starts with your own health, whether it's physical or mental health. You need to be 100% to do whatever you want to do. And this has been a very trying month for myself. And the worst thing about it is you don't know how it happened. And just a little bit on my case is that I've had a grueling lower back injury. Now, I kind of WebMD'd myself and kind of diagnosed myself with sciatica. Now, what that is that lower back injury, which clearly is literally and figuratively a pain in the ass that shoots down electric shocks to both legs. Now, I, for one, Dr. Scoundrel here, have, you know, had both pains down my legs. It's been going for about a month now. Now, am I feeling better? Yes, I'm feeling better to come on here and do a SummerSlam preview. So a lot of people thought that we were doing a little, you know, vacation hiatus, and I wish we were, because before, a couple of years ago, we could say, you know what, let's take 2-3 weeks off here, go on a little vacation, then come back. But there's so much wrestling news, and I've tried to update with the Instagram and the Twitter while I've been resting in bed. But still, you have to do the main things. You have to go to work. You have to do your shoot job. You have to do other things too. And then the worst of it all is that it is in the summertime, and I still don't know what exactly I did. So I kind of, you know, said, okay, maybe I stretched wrong. Maybe I worked out wrong. Maybe I slept wrong. Maybe I did something wrong. And just not knowing what it is very, very frustrating for me. And I do feel better. I do have so much to look forward to as far as All Out, which is just a few weeks away, 3 weeks away by the time this episode hits. And, you know, to try to get yourself in, you know, mentally and physically, you know, 100% or want to be near 90% so that I can enjoy this last piece of the summer and what it's given us here on the High Spot Podcast. And that is a lot of wrestling information, a lot of news that is out there every day. It's not just weekly that we wrap it up now. Every day, there's always brand new news that comes out. And, you know, I tell the trendsetter, you know, we're going to record here, whatever like that. But it is just the physical ability to want to come out here and do this and record while you're in pain. But you got to get through it. And that's what we're doing here. And the trendsetter has been awesome. And, you know, he's doing things for the show. And he will join us again next week. But, you know, time to gut it out through here, because making this podcast really makes me happy. It kind of makes me feel like I'm on track getting back to 100%. So, yeah, that's been in a nutshell my summer. It's been basically, you know, in pain with lower back spasms, and it sucks. So anybody that has back injuries, you know, I feel your pain. Hopefully this is not chronic. Hopefully this is something that, you know, with proper stretching and, you know, with a better workout regimen and routine, which obviously, you know what, I'm getting to be an old man now with my birthday coming up soon, which is next week. You know, that point of being able to go play basketball and go do this and that without stretching, those days are gone. So whoever has, you know, the back injuries, you knows what that's like. I now can join the club, and now to know that I'm no longer, you know, my young self anymore, kind of hit home a lot this past month. And, you know, it wasn't a week injury, it wasn't 2 weeks, it's been almost a month, but I am feeling better enough to come on here and do the show. Now, especially solo, without the trendsetter's help here, is going to be a little bit difficult, because, again, I don't want to be here spewing predictions for a whole hour here on the show. And we've had all these plans kind of been derailed a little bit by not only the injury, but just by a lot of stuff going on, you know, the daily life routine, stuff that's got to get done before has kind of impeded the show in the last, you know, month or so. And we're trying to get back on pace here, because we feel we deliver a very good show for you guys. A lot of good quality, a lot of good content here, especially on bodyslam.net. So, you know, again, I want to thank Cassidy for being patient and being supportive, and also you know, just understanding what's going on here, you know, the daily life, daily grind, new jobs, new this and that. It's a lot of stuff you have to go through. But again, one of the highlights has been to come on here on the show and, you know, do this for the last few years. And just, you know, with the future coming up with All Out, SummerSlam this weekend, you know, you get your focus on wrestling and you start, you know, feeling better from your injuries, and you know, you see the light, you see the positivity once again. And, you know, let's be honest, the show makes me very happy. This show, I wanted to succeed, you know, so much. And sometimes, you know, you have one of those blocks where you're like, you know, the show, you know, is it worth, you know, not feeling 100% and putting it out there when we're not giving you the 100% effort out there? So, you know, a lot of stuff has happened in, you know, the last, you know, few weeks. So the hiatus has not been voluntarily, you know, something that we've wanted to do. But, you know, you make executive decisions sometimes, and you try to be active on social media so that, you know, you're still remembered. And we had a bunch of polls up there. We had a bunch of funny videos we posted on Instagram as well, on Twitter too. And Cassidy's been doing a great job. Guys, get on the Twitter, because Cassidy has partnered up with Fight TV, and all you got to do is follow Cassidy, ourselves, Hubbard Wrestling, I believe, to retweet and also put up your favorite GIF of Ring of Honor, and you will get a chance to see Summer Supercard for absolutely free. And he puts these promotions on a lot, so definitely keep an eye out for this, because it's a great deal. All you have to do is simply follow, retweet, and, you know, support a couple of great podcasts on BodySlam.net. So, you know, again, it's been a very tough month or so here, but you know what, now you see the light. And though, although I hate the fact that summer is coming to a close, and the fact that SummerSlam is coming about a week earlier this year, usually it's more towards the late August, usually way after my birthday, usually the week of, it's kind of weird that the biggest show of the summer ends in mid-August and not towards the latter weeks of August. But then again, you know what, it is in Toronto, Canada, so, you know, it must be a scheduling conflict, must be a reason why, but everything is a little bit earlier this year. So, A lot to talk about here on the show, so we're going to get to it. Of course, this show is brought to you by Collar and Elbow. It is an apparel brand founded by Al Snow, mixing wrestling passion with street fashion. Check out the entire summer line, including brand new caps and shirts on the website. So you got to go to collarandelbowbrand.com. Save 10% on your entire online purchase just by entering promo code HIGHSPOTPODCAST. All in caps. Listen, summer's almost over. You might want to hit the beach a few more times. Go to collarandelbowbrand.com and save yourself 10%. I'm telling you, these tees are nice. They're the soft tees. They're not that heavy cotton tees that you feel like you're wearing a beach towel with WWE. No, Al Snow knows exactly what the wrestling fans like, and you got some good designs here on Collar and Elbow. So definitely always a great sponsor to the show, and that's this episode is brought to you by Today. Ah, man, the trendsetter usually is very good here because we'll go back and forth on the predictions and, you know, one of the, you know, the interesting aspects of what is going on in wrestling today. So, again, I love doing solo shows because, you know, I get to talk, which I've been told that I love to do, and I love to hear myself talk. So that's a positive, but definitely, though, the trendsetter and taking his takes on SummerSlam are going to be dearly missed here today, but we'll talk to him next week. And, man, so much going on in wrestling. You know, I look back, and like I was saying before, you know, a couple years ago, we just wanted to cover WWE, and that was it. And, you know, it is a lightning rod. Every time you say those three letters and you're a sports entertainment fan, you're a wrestling fan, you know, that's always going to start the conversation. There's always going to be topics. And now with, you know, WWE with their pay-per-views, and then you get welcomed to Ring of Honor, New Japan. Then, you know, guys like Kenny Omega and the Bucks and Cody are doing their thing, and they make you interested in the other aspect of wrestling. You get interested in independent wrestling, and then you follow, you know, their trials and tribulations on being the Elite, which was a great episode this past week because it got back to what the fans wanted to see. They wanted to see those guys. I know it is a great platform to introduce the new AEW wrestlers. I get it. I get it. That hasn't been the same since they've gone to AEW because they've had to do a lot of promotion. But when they can do something like go back to the days when it was just them traveling, doing their thing, going to, you know, to Triple Mania in Mexico and, you know, showing their passion for wrestling, showing what they do on the road, showing them at the airport, all that stuff, that kind of brings you back to why you loved being the Elite. And I just want to say that was a great episode because it kind of brought you back. It brought you back to what it's all about. And I get that they have to produce content and introduce the AEW wrestlers, which why wouldn't you, because it is such a heavy platform. But if you looked at the views and you looked at the subscriptions that was going on before that, it was off the charts. And now when they introduced something new, I think some of the fans that kind of liked what was going on before kind of didn't like what was going on now. But it was very refreshing to see Being the Elite, a throwback episode of that show. And hopefully they go once in a while back and forth and do that kind of stuff because, you know, out of anybody, they know exactly what the fans want. So again, though, I mean, to take a couple weeks off, it hurts because you missed Extreme Rules, and a lot of people had opinions on that. And then we go into the summertime, and now Bischoff and Paul Heyman are fully now entrenched into this new aspect of what is Raw and what is SmackDown. And we will start seeing more changes after SummerSlam, after TakeOver. We will see more changes down the road, especially now when we are just a few months away from SmackDown Live going to Fox in October. And then we find out also that AEW will have their shows on Wednesday starting in October on TNT. That was made official. So now we have, you know, that in the fold too. So much is going on. So if we were going to miss any time right before SummerSlam, in between that time was a gap there that maybe we were like, okay, we make the executive decision, but come back right away because we have so much to talk about towards the end of summer, especially during SummerSlam. And then you find out CM Punk is going to come back to do a meet and greet at StarCast. You're like, whoa, holy crap. You know what I mean? You wish you could get on and do it and talk about it and get your thoughts on it. But for the loyal members of the Jersey Wrecking Crew, to the crew, to all you guys listening to us right now and that will download this, you know, we just want to thank you so much. And again, we're going to get back to what we do the best, and that is talk professional wrestling. So It starts this weekend with, and let's not say it's not just WWE, it starts with Ring of Honor, and it's Summer Supercard. And of course, one of the main things is going to be the Girls of Destiny, G.O.D., Tama Tonga and Tagaloa will take on the Briscoes in a ladder war 10 match, and that's going to be amazing. One of the best feuds so far this year has been between them. It is as real as it can be. It is as real as it gets, and that's something to look forward to when you get that matchup at Summer Supercard Ring of Honor in Toronto, Canada. Of course, the returning Alex Shelley will get a shot at Matt Taven for the Ring of Honor World Championship. So many other matches there, and it starts off with the Ring of Honor, and we head into Saturday with NXT TakeOver in Toronto, Canada. Now, you know, we used to do a NXT show a while ago, back in the day, and that was at the point where NXT was such an amazing brand, and it was on fire, and it was just doing these amazing things that regular WWE programming wasn't providing the wrestling fan. It is still the wrestling show, but now, of course, it's taking on a different shape with the new wrestlers that are there, too. It always has that turnover once everyone gets called up to the main card, and me and the Trendsetter always talk about, oh, man, you know, if this guy comes up to the main roster, what are they going to do with him? And, you know, whether his future will be bright or not, whether their future will be bright or not, we don't know. But you have a solid nucleus right now with the Undisputed Era there. You have Shayna Baszler, one of the most dominant, if not the most dominant, female wrestlers in NXT history. They just keep producing them. You know, you go from Asuka to Shayna Baszler. So a very impressive title reign for Shayna Baszler in her NXT career. And you got to wonder what is next for her if she successfully defends the Women's Championship against Mia Yim. And we'll start with that one because, you know, kudos to Mia Yim for, you know, her dream to be in the WWE. We've talked to her on a lot of occasions. We got to know her a little bit, and this is what she's wanted to do. She's wanted to be in the WWE. She has a passion for this business. She came back from a severe ankle, a leg injury, to come back and be 110%, to not only compete in the Mae Young Classic, but also be offered a contract to NXT. And now she's doing her thing there, and now she is headlining for the Women's Championship at TakeOver Toronto this Saturday against Shayna Baszler. And I'm going to go with Shayna Baszler here because I think the dominance continues. Mia Yim definitely has been killing it on the mic here, getting this rivalry over. And I think she's going to give it her best effort, but I'm going to go with Shayna Baszler. I just think the domination continues. Nothing against Mia Yim, but I just think this being her first, you know, center stage match here on such a big platform, Shayna Baszler just more experienced. I'm going to go with Shayna Baszler getting the victory here. You got the NXT North American Championship on the line. The Velveteen Dream will defend it against Pete Dunne and Roderick Strong. Now, when you take a look at matches that could steal the show, this one right here definitely can steal the show, and Velveteen Dream has had an amazing run. I mean, he's actually in the commercial for WWE 2K20. You know, he has that it. You wonder if he can, you know, cross it over once he makes it to the WWE, which shouldn't be too much longer. But what exactly is going to be the future of the Velveteen Dream post NXT? We can't worry about that right now. We're worried about this matchup right here. And you have the Bruiserweight Pete Dunne. You have Roderick Strong, a member of the Undisputed Era. So what is going to happen here? I think it's going to be a match that steals the show. Roderick Strong has had a tremendous past year. I mean, he, to me, once that Bobby Roode rivalry kind of ended, I was kind of worried about Roderick Strong. I didn't know what was going to happen to him. I didn't know whether his character would be too bland for NXT, whether he was going to get the extra push. But the best thing that's ever happened to Roderick Strong has been being part of the Undisputed Era, because you see just exactly how talented this man is. And the Messiah, the Backbreaker, is going to be showcased here heavily. And I really do believe this matchup has the opportunity to steal the show. Pete Dunne comes back after losing to Walter, losing his NXT UK Championship. I'm sure he'll get a rematch down the road, but now a chance to win the North American title, and I'm going to go here, the Velveteen Dream. I'm just going to say that he's on a tremendous roll right now. This match could steal the show, but I'm picking the Velveteen Dream. NXT Tag Team Title Match. The Street Profits, who are making a huge name for themselves on Monday Night Raw, mixing in with a lot of the talent there. And, you know, they've become must-watch as well, and they defend the titles against Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, the kind of reinvention, the kind of resurrection of Red Dragon. But, you know, a lot of experience here goes on the side of O'Reilly and Fish towards the Street Profits. Yes, they've been entertaining. Yes, they had an amazing ladder match at the previous NXT show. But now, does an experienced team like Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish have that experience that they need to go in there in a high-profile match like this? And I'm going to say yes, they do. I'm going to say that the NXT tag team titles go back to the Undisputed Era, and I think that Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish walk away the new NXT tag team champions. Nothing against Street Profits, but I just think here, again, experience will be a factor. So I think that the Street Profits, as entertaining as good they are in the ring as a combo, I really do believe that that will not supersede experience and being an amazing tag team, a very, you know, title decorated tag team all over the world as Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. So I'm going to go with the Undisputed Era taking back those tag team titles. Candice LeRae against Io Shirai. Listen, Io Shirai was the last competitor for Shayna Baszler's NXT Championship, the Women's Championship. Couldn't get the job done. Went a little batty, went a little cuckoo, and kind of turned on her friend Candice LeRae here. And you wonder if Candice LeRae is tough enough to get the victory over Io Shirai. Now, I don't question her talent, but I question right now just how aggressive is she going to be when she sets foot in the ring with Io Shirai. That is the main question. And for that reason only, in this new attitude change in Io Shirai, the she doesn't give a damn right now anymore. She's gone crazy that she hasn't been able to become the NXT Women's Champion. Will that be a factor? And I think it's going to be a huge factor, and that's going to lead to Io Shirai getting the victory over Candice LeRae. Although I am very interested in seeing this matchup because I love the way Io Shirai works, a big fan of hers, and Candice LeRae, you know, I haven't seen her since the Independence, haven't really seen her, paid attention to her in NXT. Want to see how, you know, if she stands out a lot, but this is going to be a very important match, highlighted match here on NXT TakeOver Toronto, but I think Io Shirai is going to come away with the victory. And then your main event for the NXT Championship, it is going to be Adam Cole, baby, defending the title in a 2 out of 3 pinfalls match against Johnny Gargano. The stipulations are set. The first match will be a regular singles match. The next one will be a street fight. And if it goes to that third fall, William Regal will pick the stipulation. Now, I'm not a guy that's going to be a spoiler alert, but if I were to pick what that third match would be, I would think it would be a ladder match for that championship, and man, would that crowd go nuts. I kind of feel it's going to go to that third pinfall. I really think William Regal will make that decision, and what better way to electrify that Toronto crowd and make NXT, again, the show that you got to beat that weekend for SummerSlam, for the rest of the WWE roster, by having a ladder match at the end. Now, say what you want to say. There's going to be critics of Adam Cole. There's going to be critics of Johnny Gargano. They're not the biggest guys, but you know what? They're the hungriest guys that you will ever meet, and they want to put the best show possible. And at the end of the day, what is going to happen here? It's very tough, man. It's very tough. If you go back to Gargano, it would be a good heartfelt for him to recapture that title or just keep that domination of the Undisputed Era, make him one of the best factions right now going in any company right now. So there's a lot there's a lot on the line here, but at the end of the day, I'm going to go Adam Cole, baby, winning over Johnny Gargano. And man, a ladder match for that third pinfall would be absolutely amazing. I kind of find it hard to believe that any other stipulation would be able to match the excitement of finding out that that third pinfall is going to be a ladder match for the NXT Championship, and then you could see maybe the Undisputed Era get involved, costing Gargano, or you could see, you know, something else happen too. But I'm going to stick to the fact that it's going to go 3 falls, and I think it's going to be a ladder match, and I think Adam Cole is going to come out victorious in that one. Now we head to SummerSlam. So much going on. For SummerSlam. You had a huge card. Now, every time I turned around, it looked like they were adding another match for SummerSlam. This match is going to be at SummerSlam. This was going to be at SummerSlam. This is going to be too crazy. You know, this matchup was at SummerSlam. I thought we'd get a fatal four-way for the women's tag team titles, but they changed that for last Monday night. So I thought so many matches were going to happen. There's going to be like another 8-9 hour show for SummerSlam, but they cut a lot of stuff out, and a lot of people have said that there's no IC title match on the line. Shinsuke Nakamura, who defeated Finn Balor, and we thought finally this was it. Shinsuke was going to get a shot off the card. Will not be defending it against, most people thought, against Ali. That is off the card, and as well, no Daniel Bryan versus no Roman Reigns, and we found out this past Tuesday night that it looks like it's Daniel Bryan and Rowan that were behind the whole trying to run over Roman Reigns thing, and you do it on the go home SmackDown before SummerSlam. There's no build yet. You did a kind of good job with wondering who it was behind it. Now, could it have been more creative and not be Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan? You never know. But it's a chance to, shock the WWE here and bring somebody up here. But they're going to go with Daniel Bryan and Rowan. So be it. But they cannot settle the score at SummerSlam. So that matchup is off the books. So Roman Reigns, who won the title last year at SummerSlam, is not even on the card for this year's SummerSlam in Toronto. So go figure. The booking, again, you want to scratch your head at it, you want to complain about it, go do so, because it is crazy not to think that Roman Reigns or Daniel Bryan would be on this card. All right, guys, let's check it out. For the Cruiserweight Championship, Drew Gulak against Oney Lorcan. This is probably going to be on the pre-show. Drew Gulak has been very impressive. He had an amazing match with Isaiah Scott, formerly known as Shane Strickland. I caught up a little bit of the 205 Live, and I was telling the trendsetter, man, they got to find a way to put the show on maybe after NXT, maybe get it on FS1 or something like that when they move to Fox. Because this show really needs to be either two things. You need to invest in it or you need to cancel it, because it is just not fair to have them on after SmackDown Live. When you look at that crowd, I think they were in Miami when I saw it. That crowd, was going crazy for it, but there just wasn't enough people. You could see the crowd dispersing and leaving the American Airlines Arena. So they need to really, have like a meeting of the minds and be like, what are we going to do with, 205 Live and the Cruiserweights? Because, they are really busting their butt and really putting on amazing matches week after week on the show, from Jake Maverick to taking on, Mike Kanellis to this matchup that I just mentioned. It was the debut for Isaiah Swerve Scott in 205 Live, and I'm just like, wow, and they killed it, and Drew Gulak has killed it, and he is that no-nonsense guy that's, just going to be in your face, and he's going to, beat you down, and I like that, and, again, Isaiah Scott, Shane Swerve Strickland was amazing, and to me, that was probably the match of the week, and not a lot of people saw it, so hopefully they do a good job here. I'm going to go with Drew Gulak walking away, still Cruiserweight Champion. A huge fan of Oney Lorcan. He's doing his thing in NXT UK, moving back and forth to NXT, and here on 205 Live. Love him here, but I don't know if he's going to get the job done, because I think Drew Gulak right now is on an amazing run. Kevin Owens versus Shane McMahon. If Shane McMahon defeats Kevin Owens, Kevin Owens is going to leave the WWE. So that is the stipulation. We saw kind of them winding down the whole Shane McMahon thing a couple of weeks ago, but now they went dead on here with this rivalry between Kevin Owens. I really don't see Kevin Owens here losing and then having to leave. They could, they could do that to continue the storyline. They kind of made Kevin Owens kind of like a stone cold figure here, as he's using the stunner all over the place. face on Shane McMahon, on everybody. You know, so they could, you know, give you a swerve here and, you know, continue this feud heading into the fall. I really hope not. I hope that Shane McMahon winds it down so they can see more wrestlers on SmackDown. It could be the case where they decide to, you know, hey, let's keep going with this, but I just don't see it. I think Kevin Owens gets the victory over Shane McMahon. Bray Wyatt, The Fiend, will be the first time we see him wrestle in a very long time, and he takes on Finn Balor. Now, a lot of people here thought that The Fiend was going to fight The Demon, but that is not the case, because you got to think about this. If The Demon wrestles at SummerSlam, The Demon is undefeated. The Demon is Finn Balor. The Demon right now, what they're portraying is all Finn Balor has right now. It is his alter ego. It is his go-to persona when he needs to win a big match. If you devalue The Demon by losing to The Fiend here, Bray Wyatt, you know, it's going to kind of like really wash away whatever Finn Balor has left in WWE as far as like push here. You know that WWE loves The Demon, but they kind of maybe are not too high on Finn. I don't understand why that's the case. But here, you know, you got to think about whether, if this is a way to kind of maybe, you know, put Finn Balor off the storylines for the next few months as he has, you know, recovery from injuries, or whether they want to repackage Finn. But, you know, Finn is a guy that's so very talented that shouldn't really be in this position. He should be much higher in the card. And I just cannot believe that one shoulder injury a couple years back is going to derail, Finn Balor as just in the eyes of the WWE. I know they like him. I know they really appreciate him. I know he's well liked in that locker room. But, you know, again, the final say, does Vince McMahon think highly of Finn Balor? Can he be a face of the company just the way he is? Or does he need that Demon 24/7? I think they've kind of moved away from The Demon and what it really meant for Finn. That kind of made it his crutch, and I don't think that's what it should have been. So, if it was The Demon, you'd probably go with The Demon here, but it is Finn Balor against Bray Wyatt, his return match in such a long time. So I'm going to go here with Bray Wyatt getting the victory. The U.S. title on the line, AJ Styles and Ricochet. Ricochet, I love the push he's getting. I love the fact that he's on a main stage with AJ Styles. They've had matches before. I love it. They could wrestle for 20 minutes and just let them be, and they'll put on an excellent performance, and I think they're going to do the same thing here. Of course, AJ and the OC with Karl Anderson and Luke Gallows. Now, you got to think that they're going to be at ringside here for that. The new tag team champions on Raw, they're going to maybe make a case for AJ Styles getting the victory here. So I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to say there's going to be some kind of crazy interference where you get AJ Styles walking away still U.S. champion. Charlotte versus Trish Stratus. Now, this one I love because Trish Stratus has a great place in my heart, because I loved her when, you know, Attitude Era. I loved her. She was a trailblazer. She was amazing. She still got it. You saw her a little bit in the Royal Rumble. She's done matches on and off. But this, what she is calling her final match in Toronto, Canada, I would say that Charlotte would be the victor here. But there's been times where, you know, Trish decided to walk away, and she walked away with the Women's Championship when she defeated Lita for it. So there has been at least in Trish's history, where she has made her last match official, where she's walked out victorious. Now, does that help or hinder Charlotte? I don't know. It is very nostalgic. It is maybe her last hurrah. So maybe Trish Stratus does come out victorious. I'm going to say here that the victory goes to Trish Stratus. A lot of people are pulling for Charlotte here. A lot of people think that she's going to get the victory of a high-profile name. But really, Charlotte doesn't need a victory of a high-profile name like Trish Stratus. She already has her own legacy. And I don't know. A lot of people are debating whether it's a thank you to Trish, her farewell match, whether it's going to be Charlotte trying to get a victory over another legend. So I'm going to go, and I'm going to go against the grain here. I'm going to go Trish Stratus comes out with the victory here in this matchup. Goldberg versus Dolph Ziggler. Now, a lot of speculation, because I thought we were going to get The Miz and Dolph. Even got little tease that maybe Shawn would take on the Dolph Ziggler, which, you know, would kind of be a little bit of a dream match, because Dolph Ziggler's kind of, I wouldn't say, you know, 100%, but kind of has taken bits and pieces of Shawn Michaels' persona into his own persona, you know, in his career. So it would be kind of a dream match to see that. But no, we get Goldberg, who last we saw, you know, I will give him credit because before all that screw, before hitting his head on the post, before all that stuff, it was a okay match. The only problem is it went another 10 more minutes, and that's what happened. So before he got concussed, before he got out of it was a, I would say, a decent matchup with The Undertaker. It was maybe watchable, tolerable, okay, passable wrestling match between, you know, two Hall of Famers, but that was all it was. And then, of course, you know, The Undertaker messing up, with Goldberg messing up, it was just a shit show. And I don't think Goldberg wanted that to be his last impression. But listen, we know what you did at Goldberg. You know, you got paid a lot of money. We don't blame you. I would have done the same thing. But now he comes back, and to think that this matchup is going to go more than 3 minutes or so without Goldberg spearing him and beating Dolph Ziggler, because that's what he's there for, because, you know, Dolph's going to take care of Goldberg. Ziggler's a pro. And, you know, that's what's going to happen. If you think that it's going to be a 15-minute, Dolph Ziggler kicks out of a lot of finishers, Goldberg surprises you with some athleticism, then I don't know what to tell you, but that's not the match it's going to be. It's going to be a squash match. And it's going to be Goldberg victorious. I don't know if it's going to last longer than his matchup with Kevin Owens a few years back at Fastlane, but it's not going to last too long. And I think that Goldberg will come out the victor here, and maybe that'll be it for Goldberg, or maybe that'll be his vindication from Saudi Arabia a few months ago. The Raw Women's Championship will be on the line. Becky Lynch has done everything possible to be a heel heading into Toronto, Canada, as Toronto's own Natalya will challenge Becky Lynch, the man, for the championship. The submission match, it's under her terms now. It's the Disarmer versus the Sharpshooter. So what is going to happen here? It's been very, very well done, very well played out here. Of course, Becky Lynch is going to, you know, go on Twitter, start the feud, and it actually brought out the best of Natalya. Natalya, you know it's in Toronto. You kind of get the idea, okay, it's in Toronto. That's why maybe she's getting that push. But, of course, she always is deserving to be in that title scene. But you know why, because it's going to draw, because she is in her hometown of Toronto. So, yeah, I mean, when I take a look at this matchup here, you know, Becky Lynch is drawing the heat because, you know what? She's going to draw the heat. The man is going to not be the favorite in Toronto because you've got such a strong push for Natalya. But here's the thing, though. Natalya has it under her rules. She's got it. Well, she's got what she wanted. She got a submission match here. And now, will she pull off the upset? I don't think so. I think Becky Lynch's Disarmer will get Natalya in the end. And I think that Becky Lynch will retain her Raw Women's Championship. Then, of course, the SmackDown Live Women's Championship is on the line. Bayley versus Ember Moon. A lot of rumors going around the past week that Ember Moon is not a favorite of Vince McMahon. Well, she's in the main event here. She's in this title match for the SmackDown Women's Championship. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I think Bayley comes out here, and I think that this is a good way to highlight Ember Moon. She's going to give it her all, but at the end of the day, I think that Bayley right now, and I think what Brad Shepard said, that one official said that she's lucky that little girls are behind her and are, like, in full support. So if she has the young fan support, then I don't see her here losing her SmackDown Live Women's Championship. And be on point here, guys, that Sasha Banks could be lurking somewhere at SummerSlam. She could make her return as soon as SummerSlam. So, you know, you could add that X factor that Sasha could involve herself in one of these two matches. So you don't know exactly, you know, where here on the card, but you could see Sasha make her presence known. We are here in SummerSlam. She could make her big return now. There's been a lot of rumors that she was going to return last month, a few weeks ago. at the Raw reunion. But, you know, this would be a interesting time to bring in Sasha here. And whether she's going to be on the Raw brand or the SmackDown brand, she would really maybe boost right now a lackluster women's division. I say for her to come out and just beat on the man. Let us get that Becky Lynch versus Sasha match, out the way from the get-go. Let's go with that one. Let's let that be the one that we go into heading into the next pay-per-view, heading into the fall, into the winter, because right now that women's division is a little bit lackluster and you need something to spark it up. Now will Ronda Rousey return eventually? You know, she might return eventually, but right now I think what would spark the WWE would be for Sasha Banks to return. I've been a biggest critic of Sasha for doing what she did. Now, whether she needed time off to heal, fine. But if you're going to, you know, complain about what your position is and then come back and get rewarded, I'm not a huge fan of that. But she will add, at least for the time being, and if WWE decides to push her the right way and push the rivalry between her and Becky, it would be a very must-see rivalry and a must-see match, at least towards the beginning. But we'll see. WWE has kind of dropped the ball a lot of times so far, so, you know, we will see what happens there. But you got Becky, I think, will retain, and I think so will Bayley. The WWE Championship match between Kofi and Randy. Listen, Randy Orton, to me, is here, I think, because he's just going to be added to the list for Kofi Kingston. I think Kofi Kingston has been the champion longer than I thought that he would. I think it's just because of the momentum that, you know, from the New Day, and I just don't think that there's been an opponent to take that title away from him in a good storyline, that is. So Kofi Kingston has exceeded my expectations as the WWE champion, so I think it continues. I think that Kofi Kingston takes on Randy Orton just because I think Randy is another name that Kofi can add to his belt to legitimize his title run since WrestleMania. He's beaten Daniel Bryan, he's beaten Kevin Owens, Dolph Ziggler, and now to add Randy Orton on that notch really validates your WWE Championship run. Like I said, it's lasted longer than I thought. Good for Kofi, man. Good for Kofi. Because if you're going to get maybe one title run, to get it now, to get it, you know, in this manner, is still very impressive. So I think Kofi comes out the victor in that matchup. And then, of course, the main event, it's going to be Seth Rollins against Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship. And, you know what the story is. Seth is beat up. He's going into this not 100%. He's been cleared. And Brock Lesnar has just been a beast here, getting the edge over Seth any which way he's had here. So you wonder, okay, this is also that Seth walks away with the championship. You know, the hero, you know, beaten down, finds a way to beat the beast who's at 100%. And I don't know if that's the right thing to do. You put the belt on Brock for a reason. So I think that this continues, and I think that Brock keeps the championship. You know, I know the thing may be for Seth and maybe Becky at the end of the night to get in that ring and put the titles up in the air so the fans could go home happy, but I just don't know exactly what the plan is if Seth wins, because let's be honest, Seth has been, you know, a better heel champion than a face. It's just whether them putting him and Becky together, to me, you don't always have to do that. You know, they are a high-profile couple, but there's just been some places where, you know, it just doesn't make sense. It kind of feels a little bit awkward. And it just feels like it doesn't feel... I don't feel like they're shoving it down our throat. It doesn't feel relatable, or it doesn't feel kind of like... you know, it's just not natural. It just seems like there's something off with them coming out as a couple. It's just me, maybe. But I think that you want to make your heroes, I think that, yes, while they're relatable, while you can, you know, sympathize with how they feel because they're as real to you because they are that face champion. Once you show that weakness, which is, you know, love, and you know, it just kind of kills that aspect of it because that is your kryptonite. And maybe, you know, for the nostalgic people who love that, you know, the romance in there, hey, you know what, that's fine. But I just, you know, Seth as the WWE Universal Champion, just, it wasn't successful. And you know, to think that they put the belt on Brock just so that he could lose it to Seth at SummerSlam, I just don't see it. And I see Brock Lesnar walking away still the Universal Champion, the Beast. His reign will continue. Now, it's not, it hasn't been too painful. That has been my SummerSlam and TakeOver predictions. So I feel that it's going to be a great night of wrestling. So, you know, again, WWE takes center stage. They do take the weekend with TakeOver and with SummerSlam. But again, don't forget about other stuff going on. You know, there is Ring of Honor. There is a Summer Supercard. They have a great card. You know, a lot of news with them that they, you know, and New Japan will not have that partnership heading into the Fighting Spirit Unleashed in September, which is kind of weird, kind of news-making things, kind of newsworthy, you know, topic, and then it sells out. New Japan sells out by themselves, and, you know, I just think this, we got to support every wrestling promotion possible, and Ring of Honor gives you tremendous wrestling, and there's that word tremendous, but they give you great wrestling, so it starts off with them August 9th. So definitely check them out. And then you've got NXT TakeOver. And listen, you know you're going to have great wrestling there for 2.5 hours, five great matches. You're not overwhelmed with the wrestling, with the matches. You're overwhelmed with the great in-ring action, too. This is what you want to do. It's what you want to sit back and watch and be entertained. And, you know, which match will steal the show? Velveteen Dream, Pete Dunne, and Roderick Strong, I believe. But then the Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano match. You know, how much more can they do? I mean, they've put it out all on the line the last few matches. How much more can they go to entertain the wrestling fan? You will get a chance to find out this Saturday. And of course, SummerSlam is this Sunday. It's going to be, again, it's going to be, do you guys want to watch this? Is this card something that you think will be better than NXT TakeOver? A lot of people are NXT, you know, through and through, and they believe that there's nothing that WWE can do the next day to surpass Saturday night's festivities. So we're going to find out, can SummerSlam be that big event of the summer? Will it hurt not having Roman Reigns on there? Will it hurt not having Daniel Bryan on it? And, you know, you feel for guys like Shinsuke, who've done a lot for that, you know, a lot and have worked hard, finally gets that IC title, and he's not going to be on the card. So, you know, you wonder what grade at the end of the night you will give SummerSlam. But again, WWE takes center stage, and you know, you have a weekend of wrestling, one of the final summer weekends that you will have of pro wrestling as we head into the fall season, which is coming here pretty soon. And I hate that again, because, you know, this summer has been pretty uneventful for myself, and, you know, healing from a month-long injury here. You know, you kind of didn't enjoy the summer. You see, you're going to do all these things, and unfortunately, you don't get a chance to enjoy. So, we'll see here, if we're going to have an eventful All Out. But All Out is going to be another 3 weeks away, and we're going to go to Chicago. We're going to enjoy it, do some sightseeing, maybe get some interviews at a StarCast event, but enjoy All Out. Watch Chris Jericho versus Adam Page to crown the first ever AEW World Champion. And, again, Cody versus Sean Spears will be on that card, and of course a ladder match between Pentagon and Phoenix against the Young Bucks. So definitely a great few weeks now coming in with pro wrestling, and of course the G1 block still in effect. Only a few more days left in that awesome tournament, and it's been match after match after match that's been killing it in Block A right now. Right now, currently, you've got Okada, who's leading that one, and you got John Moxley, who's, you know, holding him off in the B block. Will we see a Moxley versus Okada match at Wrestle Kingdom? Will a Gaijin win the G1 again? You know, will it be a Moxley summer here to close it off here by winning the G1? That should be interesting to see what happens. Ibushi is right behind Okada, though. Only 2 points behind him, but we are, you know, wrapping it up. There's that final push here, final set of matches here to win each block. Block A right now, again, Okada is in the lead, and Moxley leads Block B. So, you know, a lot of people we saw in the first couple of days who we thought were going to have a strong run in the G1, kind of didn't, and kind of fell through the wayside. One of them mysteriously has been Will Ospreay. But then again, though, you don't know in these kind of tournaments exactly, you know, who's going to come out, who's going to have that extra will, who's going to have the advantage, who's going to have the edge. Because when you see these blocks and you see these names of these wrestlers, you're like, wow, it's very impressive here. You're like, wow, this is amazing. The skill and the talent and the names are, you know, who is going to come off here victorious? Who's going to win? Who's going to lose? Who's going to not even get 2 points? Who's going to have the worst outing? Who's going to have the best outing? Who's going to be the MVP? You just don't know because there's so many stacked names. But we're finding out that final push, August 12th, the G1 wraps up. But right now, Okada and Moxley lead their perspective blocks. Again, I mentioned the CM Punk doing a meet and greet at StarCast, and a lot of speculation about whether he'll be at All Out. And then Cody Rhodes saying that a little miscommunication where CM Punk kind of, you know, didn't speak badly, but of the Bucks and Cody Rhodes and Tony Khan's communication skills, but kind of put it out there that, you know, there really has been nothing offered, and if it has been, it has been formal. And, you know, a guy like CM Punk, you know, if you're going to talk business, you want to sit down, crunch numbers, whatever, you know, would he listen to another wrestling thing? Listen, he's doing StarCast. I mean, it may be easy for him because he's a hop, skip, and jump away because it's only in Chicago, his hometown. He didn't really have to travel that much. That's why he's doing it. But the speculation of CM Punk being at All Out, if it wasn't going to be all in Chicago last year, would it be All Out, you know, be a no-brainer? I don't know, and I think, you know, the point is, if it's going to happen, let it be organic. And that's the one thing. That's the word organic that I didn't say for Seth and Becky Lynch. It doesn't seem organic, their relationship, when you put it on TV. But the same thing. It has to be organic. It has to be whether CM Punk wants to do it. Or again, though, we could all be being worked. Because Cody's saying that he sees CM Punk in WWE one day. I just don't see that. I don't see him ever returning. And if you're going to do so, why not on a great schedule, a light schedule, and do things on his terms and CM Punk in a AEW wrestling ring. I think we'll see it eventually, but I just think everyone wanting to force it, everybody wanting to, you know, have it right away because we want the instant gratification. You know, just let it be. Let it happen organically. Let it happen when it happens. And when it does, and if you're lucky enough to be there, and you know you video record it on your cell phone because that's what more people do now than actually watch a match. Then so be it. Then it happens. But to be disappointed because CM Punk doesn't show up at All Out, to be disappointed because that happens and not be disappointed because the match don't live up to par, because you know they're going to live up to par, then, you know, where are your priorities? You know, to be pissed off because, oh, I thought CM Punk was going to be there, man. Dude, come on. Dude, where are your priorities? You're getting Jericho, Hangman Page, the first ever, you know, AEW championship. The first AEW champion will be crowned. You get the Bucks versus Pentagon and Phoenix in the ladder match. You got Cody and Shawn Spears in a match. You know, you're going to walk away happy. And if you're going to walk away mad because CM Punk doesn't show up, then, you know, come on, dude. Like, really? Like, it's, you know, hand in your wrestling card, because if that's it, then you're a Punk fan that went to a wrestling event. That's all it is. And I'm looking forward to All Out. This is gonna be my chance to unwind this summer, and just, you know, hopefully I'm at anywhere from between 90% and 100%, and you know, I get to live it up, because, you know, my summer winded down. It was a miserable summer. And I get to enjoy SummerSlam this weekend. I will definitely be in touch with the Trendsetter. We'll have dialogue back and forth and talk about it. Will we do a post? I don't know. That's tough with the scheduling. We've always wanted to do post shows. That's one of the main things we wanted to do. There's been some news where you're probably going to do something in the future with the show that I'm very excited about. But again, though, you know, knock on wood or whatever this table is made out of. Again, it has to be, again, you can talk about stuff, but then you have to be actually healthy. You know, you have to be 100%. You have to, you know, I kind of been in the position where, like, we've promoted stuff for the future, but you don't know what the future holds. So enjoy some. Here's the perfect thing. Enjoy it. Enjoy All Out. Enjoy SummerSlam. I challenge you, the wrestling fan. Watch it and just watch it as a fan. Don't get too much of, what happens next. Don't worry about it. That is my challenge. I will throw that challenge to you guys for SummerSlam, for TakeOver, or All Out, whatever you guys want to do. But I give you guys that challenge. Watch it as a fan. Take one time. Do not be that guy that's like, oh, I don't like what happened here. Oh, this is so boring. Oh, the magical 5 hours. Watch it as a fan. Live for the moment. Enjoy it. Don't take it for granted that you're there. That you're there in Toronto. That you're there front row. Or you're in the nosebleeds. But you're part of that atmosphere. Because one of the things that me and the Trenton loved when we started making our trips to WrestleMania was like, man, you can go anywhere and it's a celebration of wrestling. It's a celebration of wrestling with all wrestling fans there. And that's what it should be. But we, again, want that instant gratification. And, it ruins it for a lot of people. You know, I remember telling me, man, Jeff, before you put the behind-the-scenes stuff, before we started talking about, you know, who's being pushed and the booking, whatever, I was naive. I was wide-eyed. I really didn't see things the way that you guys, you know, are watching and when you guys critique it every day and when you do that for a living. It kind of took the magic away. And you know, ever since that, I kind of want to be negative on wrestling. That's why the Trendster and I are not going to, you know, shit on any promotion. We'll have opinions here back and forth, but we're not going to, like, you know. Perfect example, me and the Trendsetter have different opinions of Impact Wrestling. I think that, say what you want about them, you know, all the jokes are there. You know, sometimes they're bringing up upon themselves. But the quality of wrestling on their pay-per-view events is top-notch. Slammiversary this past, last month was top-notch for the company. Really well done. You know? And you know, hey, they'll have people leave the company. They'll have people come in the company. That might be the only issue is the continuity and whether they have really the funds to invest, whatever. But, man, every month they kill it with their pay-per-views. And that's what you want to do. That's what you want to watch. And Trent Center may not be a fan because, you know, he's kind of, you know, blinded by what's going on with, you know, with impacting their finances and the way they've always disappointed, you know, the fan in the long run. I get it. But I dare you guys to watch this weekend as a fan. Watch All Out as a fan. Don't nitpick every single thing. Because, I mean, come on, if you start nitpicking a television production thing or something like that, come on, really, you have no idea how that works. And you're going to criticize the way, oh, they kept the camera on too long. Oh, I wish they did it from this angle. Hey, man, listen, this is with WWE, it's a billion-dollar company. With AEW, it's close to a million-dollar company, billion-dollar company. All right, they know what they're doing, okay? So just watch it. Watch it as a fan. Enjoy it. And then, of course, final thing, the man Becky Lynch and Roman Reigns on the cover of WWE 2K, the first time that two wrestlers will be on the cover. WWE really does a good job. I really like that Becky Lynch promo for the 2K20. Very well done. You had wrestlers of the past. You know, Stone Cold was in it. Hogan, Sheamus, Braun. Velveteen Dream was there. I brought it up in the beginning of the show. Velveteen Dream was there. So definitely somebody to look out, if not in 2019, 2020. The Velveteen Dream is somebody that's going to really be turning a lot of heads in the very near future, as he already does so in NXT. So congratulations to Becky and Roman Reigns there on the cover. And I think that's all I wanted to say. I think hearing an hour of me is enough. I wanted to keep it shorter than that, but there's a lot to get into, and I definitely do a better job with the Trendsetter. Even if I talk over his words, I definitely You know, look forward to when the Trendsetter comes back here next week on the show. Like I said, guys, thank you for being so patient with us. Thank you for still listening to the show and, you know, valuing what the Trendsetter and I have to say about the world of professional wrestling as we talk about it. It's what we love talking about, man. It's definitely a passion here. And, you know, not going to win again. Hopefully that's twice. Hopefully I don't jinx myself for the foreseeable future. That should be it as far as hiatus. I'm feeling better. I'm getting close to being myself again as far as physically. So, you know, again, Trendsetter is always down to do these shows. Now, a post is really pushing it. I don't know if we'll do that. Definitely we'll get a reaction during the week from us about SummerSlam. And I want to thank everybody. I want to thank Bodyslam.net. I want to thank all our podcast platforms. Again, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts. Subscribe. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts, man. We want your support. We want you to tell us what kind of job we're doing, good or bad. Leave a comment on there. Leave a 5-star rating. Subscribe on the YouTube channel. There will be more video content up there from the High Spot Podcast and, of course, Adventures with the Trendsetter. That should be coming up in the next few days. So definitely subscribe. Hit the notification bell, too, to receive notifications when new content is up. It should be shortly. Go to highspotpodcast.com. It is improved, revamped, a labor of love, and that is done. And so go there and check out all the stuff that's going on with the High Spot Podcast there. Listen to us on the Shining Wizards Radio Network and B Plus Player for now. I don't know, Mark. I don't know what the deal is. I guess I should check. I say I just go and check on their stream if we're on there anymore. It would suck if we aren't. I've been promoting it for like months now. But well, we'll just pretend we're there. So B Plus Player Radio Network. Winding down the summer with SummerSlam and All Out. We're heading to the fall. Hopefully we have a better fall season than I had summertime. The birds chirping in the background. Oh, the studio. Gotta love Studio 51A here in beautiful Jersey. The birds are out. They're happy. So I should be happy. Again, want to thank everybody here. The Trendsetter will be back next week. I am Jeff Martin. You're listening to the High Spot Podcast. We bid you adieu. Remember this, guys. We do it for you, the crew. Peace out. SummerSlam, baby. Whoop, whoop.